As for other manners, brothers and sisters, pray to us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance.
I hope you're enjoying this series in 2 Thessalonians. We've seen how the return of the Lord Jesus is central to this letter. Paul loves this church. Their faith is increasing more and more. Their love is increasing. Paul boasts about them to the other churches. They're experiencing persecution. But God is just. He will repay those who trouble the church. And this ultimately will happen when Jesus is revealed. Jesus will be revealed and glorified in his holy people. We saw the sobering truth that before Jesus returns, a man of lawlessness or antichrist will lead a rebellion against Christ. But we're not to be afraid, because Jesus will overthrow him. In the light of that, the Thessalonians are to stand firm as those who've been saved. And as they stand fast, the Lord Jesus himself and God our Father will give them eternal encouragement and good hope. Chapter 2, verse 16. Now today, three prayer requests. There are sheets on your tables with these outlines on them. Three prayer requests: that the message of the Lord may spread, verse 1. That the messengers of the Lord may be protected, verses 2 and 3. And that the messengers of the Lord may be obedient, verses 4 and 5. And these are things we can pray for gospel work around the world and here in North Hearts. So firstly, pray that the message of the Lord may spread, verse 1. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us. Pray for us. That the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. The picture here is of an athlete running ahead. Think of one carrying the Olympic flame. Don't know if you remember 2012, when the Olympics came to Britain, and the Olympic torch was carried all around the nation, and huge crowds came out to cheer the Olympic torch wherever it went. That's the picture here. The message of the Lord is spreading rapidly. It's speeding ahead. And wherever it goes, it's honored. Just like the Olympic torch being cheered on wherever it went. We were on holiday in the Isle of Wight in 2012. And Robbie, who was 12, was very keen to watch the Olympics. The problem was, we were staying in a tent. We did have electricity, but we didn't bring a laptop to watch the Olympics on. So on Super Saturday, if you remember that, Robbie, my father, and I all went to a pub to have a meal and watch the sport. Unfortunately, because it was Saturday night and it was a town centre pub, Robbie wasn't allowed in, as he was under 18. So we were thrown out of the first pub. We tried again in a second pub, and the same thing happened. That's the only time that three generations of Jenkinses have been thrown out of a pub. Twice. And hopefully, the last. So, we went back to the tent and listened on the radio. And actually, it was so exciting listening to those competitions on the radio. That excitement is just a faint reflection of the excitement that there is as the message of the Lord spreads rapidly and is honored, just as it was with the Thessalonians. Sport can be very exciting. But you know how it was when God first met with you. How exciting was that? When you first understood and believed the gospel, when you first fell in love with Jesus. Paul is saying, pray for us. Pray that the gospel may speed ahead, spread rapidly, and be honored, just as it was with you. Pray that others would get excited about Jesus, just as you are excited about Jesus. Of course, it's hard for others to get excited about Jesus if you yourself are not excited about Jesus. Were you once excited about Jesus? Are you still excited about Jesus? Do you still honor the word? Does it still have a pride of place in your life? Do you still read it? Do you still love it? Do you still share it? I took part at the Remembrance Day service in Baldock High Street again this year. And as always, we went back for coffee afterwards. And I got to chat to someone I've been praying for. I was able to explain the gospel and explore it in some depth. It was thrilling. It was exciting. I went to that event feeling quite negative. I'd rather have been in Christchurch with my friends. I felt quite nervous. I didn't have much time to speak. But when I had that conversation, I could see the word speeding ahead. God had ordained that conversation. It was all planned. So exciting. Maybe you've lost the thrill of seeing the word spreading. Why not come and chat to people in our cafe at the Baldock Fair? Why not pray for unconverted family and friends? Why not initiate conversations with them? Gently. Sensitively. Praying for the message of the Lord to spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. Pray that the message of the Lord may spread. Secondly, pray that the messengers of the Lord may be protected. Verse 2. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people. For not everyone has faith. I've just read a biography of John Bunyan. John Bunyan was a poorly educated tinker, someone who mended pots and pans. And wonderfully, he was converted from a life of sin. And he grew to love the Bible. This in itself is amazing, because he wasn't, up till this point, a very good reader. But he becomes a Christian. He becomes a preacher, he becomes a writer, he becomes one of the most famous writers in the English language. Some say he invented the modern novel. His most famous work, of course, was Pilgrim's Progress, which is an allegory of the Christian going all the way through this world of sin until he reaches heaven, the celestial city. Bunyan loved Christ. He loved the Word. But what he got for his trouble was 12 years in Bedford jail. And it was not like modern prisons. The pathetic story is told of Bunyan's blind daughter, Mary, bringing him soup and handing it to him through the bars, which were open onto the street. Otherwise, Bunyan would have starved, and the family had nothing, as he was unable to provide for them. You may know that just before this time, after the Civil War, evangelical churches were free. But when the monarchy was restored under Charles II, it was illegal to go to church anywhere other than in the Church of England, which was not largely evangelical. It certainly wasn't evangelical in Bedford. And so Bunyan went to prison and suffered greatly. Even after he was released, there were further periods of persecution. If you'd been an evangelical Christian in 17th century Britain, you would have prayed. You would have prayed for your leaders. You would have prayed for yourself if you were committed to living for Christ. Just like verse 2. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith. This is Paul's prayer for himself. The Thessalonians were to pray this. And as we look at the 21st century, we are free in this country, but there's never been more persecution around the world. Think of the Muslim world. How many of those countries allow freedom of religion? Think of Hindu India. Think of Buddhist countries like Bhutan or Myanmar. Think of North Korea. Think of China. And so we could go on. And pray. Pray. That we may be delivered from wicked and evil people. For not everyone has faith. How we need to pray like that for our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world. But, verse 3, the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. God is faithful. When Bunyan was in prison, God provided for Bunyan's family. It looked as though they might starve, but they didn't. Bunyan was able to make laces in prison and sell them for a pittance. And in other ways, God provided for the family. God's faithfulness did not save Bunyan from prison. God was faithful to Bunyan in prison. God's faithfulness is not always saving Christians from persecution. But God is faithful to those as they suffer. He does always strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. Bunyan came under tremendous spiritual attack in prison. He became very depressed. But God strengthened and protected him from the evil one. And this is what God will do for us. He is faithful. again and again in the Christian life, we see that God is faithful. Becker and I were at the FIEC Leaders Conference, and we had lunch with one minister whose church had been rescued, absolutely rescued, from false teaching. And again, this man was telling us how God had demonstrated his faithfulness. And in 50 years' time, when someone writes the story of Christchurch, they will record how God met all our needs, our financial needs, our need for workers, our need for staff, our need for premises. The Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. And thirdly, pray that the messengers of the Lord may be obedient. Verses 4 and 5. This is Paul's prayer for the Thessalonians. Verse 4. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. Paul is pleased with the Thessalonian church. In chapter 1, Paul thanks God for them because their faith is growing, their love is increasing. Paul boasts about them, and he's confident here that they will continue to do the things Paul commands. What do you think of that word, commands? Isn't it a bit arrogant of Paul? Do the things we command. Not suggest. Not ask. Command. Well, it would be arrogant if it were not true. If it were not true that Paul is an apostle. It would have been arrogant. But Paul is an apostle. See, an apostle is someone whom the Lord Jesus himself appoints to be his spokesman. So the apostle Paul, before he was an apostle, met the risen Christ on the Damascus Road. Apostles all had to be witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus. And Paul meets this criterion on the Damascus Road. And because Paul is an apostle, he speaks for Jesus. Jesus gives his message through Paul. So to obey Jesus means to obey his apostles, such as Paul. So the only way to be an obedient Christian is to obey the apostle Paul and the other apostles. That's why evangelical churches have made some unpopular decisions. We have not ordained women ministers. Women can have very full ministries, but the Apostle Paul teaches that men must exercise servant leadership in the home and in the church. I emphasize servant leadership, not lording it over leadership. Verse 4 again, we have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. Homosexuality is another issue. We have great sympathy with those who experience same-sex attraction. We must be the best of loving friends to such people. But there's no way the Apostle Paul can be made to support active homosexual relationships. The Archbishop of Canterbury can't come out and say this because of the pressure he's under. But Paul expects us to continue to do the things he commands. And so we have to obey him, because obeying Paul is obeying Jesus. We have to obey him when that's popular and when that's unpopular. We have to obey him when that's convenient and when it's inconvenient. Paul expects us to obey everything he commands. And then in verse 5 he prays, "May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance." So this is Paul's prayer for the Thessalonians. This should be our prayer for ourselves, that we will be obedient Christians, that we will love God's word, that God will direct our hearts into God's love. Now, what does it mean for your heart to be directed into God's love? Is it a sort of warm and fluffy thing? Are we meant to imagine teddy bears and hearts and so on? Well, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." John 14:15. There's nothing vague about this. If you're going deeper into God's love, you must pray to go deeper into obedience. And when you obey, God gives you a powerful understanding of his love, which is wonderful. God loves me. God loves you in Christ. Isn't that staggering? The God of the universe loves us. But if we will not obey him, if we will not love him, we will not apprehend how much he loves us. That's just how it is, isn't it? I know that in my own marriage. If I'm unkind to Becca, if I say something hurtful, if I'm inconsiderate of Becca, that's not the right environment for love to grow between us. I have to love her in order to go deeper into her love for me. And when we're both doing that, when we're loving one another, then we can experience the love which God intends for us to have in marriage. And for your heart to be directed into God's love, it's very much for us to love him, to please him, and to obey him. And then he prays that we'll go deeper into Christ's perseverance. I don't know if you know about William Wilberforce. He led the campaign against the slave trade in the 18th century. And the story is told that after 10 years of this battle and suffering yet another setback, he is tired, he's frustrated. And he opens his Bible and begins to leaf through it. And a small piece of paper falls out and flutters to the floor. It's a letter written by John Wesley. John Wesley was one of the great spiritual giants of the 18th century. And Wesley wrote to Wilberforce, which he just happened to find at his moment of great weakness. Wesley says, "Unless the divine power has raised you up, I see not how you can go through your glorious enterprise in opposing that abominable practice of slavery, which is the scandal of religion of England and of human nature. Unless God raised you up for this very thing, you will be worn out by the opposition of men and devils. But if God be for you, who can be against you? Are all of them together stronger than God? Oh, be not weary of well-doing. Go on in the name of God and in the power of his might. If God be for you, who can be against you? Are all of them stronger than God? Oh, be not weary of well-doing. Go on in the name of God and in the power of his might. Who is against you in the Christian life? Are they stronger than God? As you love Christ and obey Christ and love his word, you will persevere because God is with you. God is with us. That's why we can get out of bed tomorrow morning and go into the day and serve him. Because God is with us. So, three prayer requests: that the message of the Lord may spread. Can you pray that for North Hearts? Can you pray that for your street? Can you pray that for your circle of friends in school? Can you pray it for your workplace? Can you pray it for your family? That the message of the Lord may spread. Are you willing to be that messenger wherever God has put you? And then shall we pray for protection? That the messengers of the Lord may be protected. We need to be protected. If we're going to stand up for Christ, we need spiritual protection. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. We need that. One more fact about Bunyan. He was a terrible swearer. And even after he became a Christian, when he got up to preach, he'd have a strong temptation to swear in the pulpit, which obviously would have been disastrous and was a demonic attack. It was a way of trying to stop him speaking. And that's the Christian life. When you do things for God, there is a spiritual attack. And so we need to pray. Pray day by day for spiritual protection, deliverance from evil and temptation. And then we need to be those obedient people, obeying the Apostle Paul, even if our society calls us all kinds of nasty names for obeying God's apostle. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word to us. We pray, Lord, with the Apostle Paul, that the message of the gospel may spread. Please would it spread this Christmas. Please would this hall be packed out for the contemporary carol service. Please would the school hall be packed for the traditional carol service. But more importantly than that, Lord, please would your Spirit be at work so that we see the Word of God speeding ahead. So that after Christmas, Lord, may there be many doing Christianity Explored. May there be many baptisms in the summer. May your kingdom come and your name be honored in this area. Please protect us from the evil one. Help us to resist sin. Help us to resist the pressures to just close our mouths. And please, Lord, protect your people, your suffering people around the world. 30,000 in North Korean death camps. Father, protect them. Be faithful to them, we pray. And help us to be obedient to everything your word commands, so that we may glorify Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.